Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Death of Death, where we proclaim Christ's victory over sin, death, and everything else. I'm your host, Nick Stewart. Just wanted to share some exciting news with you all before we get started. My wife and I are getting out of California and moving to Oklahoma. It's a little bittersweet because it obviously means we're leaving behind all our friends and family and our church, but it's just gotten to the point where it had to be done. California is not a friendly place for Christians or anarchists alike, but the last few months have just been so over the top that there's just no way we can make this work. I'm not trying to use this whole episode to talk about this, and if you want something close to the full story, I wrote a post on my personal Instagram talking about it, so you can look up at Nick C. Stewart and read the story if you want. That means likewise that the Death of Death operation will be moving to Oklahoma, and I really want to thank all of you for listening and sticking with me through the weirdest portion of history we've ever lived through, and I'm not slowing down in my desire to make a good podcast for you all, and if I play my cards right, I might actually be able to make this move without missing a single episode, but I know if I do miss a single episode, you won't abandon me, and you will not stop listening, so thank you. The topic of today's show is something I started thinking about feverishly on my first morning in Oklahoma, so I woke up and started jotting down some ideas about this. It kind of comes out of a void of information in episode 22. I felt like there was a lot more I could have said on that topic, and it was mainly a comment by my friend Nick Quint that made me start thinking about what I had missed in that episode. So, you know, there's a lot about the Christian worldview that's unique. We're monotheistic, which is unique to just a handful of religions. We're definitely unique when it comes to the atonement. No other religions believe that a deity added a human nature to his divine nature and then suffered and died in the human nature to make atonement for the sinful people who don't deserve it. So, you know, that's obviously pretty specific to one religion. In fact, most religions, the only exception which immediately comes to mind is Islam. Everything else eludes me at the moment, but most religions don't even believe people are evil. My wife and I just finished watching Lost again, and that's one of my favorite shows of all time. It started when I was like 10, and it was pretty much all I focused on until I was 16, so I'm not going to spoil anything specific, but if you haven't seen it and you want to see it and don't want to know some things, then definitely skip ahead about 30 seconds. But the show came down to a debate between two immortal characters who loosely represented good and evil, and the good character believed that people were basically good, and he wanted them to use their free will to choose the right thing. So he's constantly orchestrating events so that more and more people will come to the island to prove his theory. And meanwhile, the bad character believes that people are corrupt and evil, so he's always orchestrating events in which they die or and morally fail, perhaps. But I side with the villain in this situation because he's right. People are evil, himself included, and no amount of tests of free will is ever going to change that fact. So in other words, Lost came down to whether the nature of man is good or evil and whether they'll use their free will to do the right thing. And there's your non-spoiler explanation of Lost, but this just goes to show how deeply some of these non-Christian ideas are weighted down into the cultural conscience. But one of the most unique views to Christianity is our view of resurrection. Resurrection, in a lot of ways, is central to the Christian view. It's kind of like the view behind the view. It's like, yes, the gospel is the center of our worldview, but the gospel is Jesus rising from the dead, breaking the law of sin and death, and submerging us into his resurrection, empowering us to rise from spiritual death and one day from physical death as well. It's kind of the driving force behind all of the unique views of Christianity. So this should color the way that we see everything. We are awakened to new spiritual realities, but we're also awakened to new physical realities. It's the reason we bury our dead and don't cremate them, because someday that body will rise. I wrote an article called Ain't No Grave for the Death of Death blog, and I'll link to that in the show notes where I talk about that. But I think people put too much stock in the intermediate state, which is this disembodied afterlife up in the clouds. And whether you believe in the intermediate state or not, it's not permanent. There will be a new heavens and new earth, and we will have physical resurrected bodies. We'll be under the physical rule and reign of Christ on the earth. We so often leave these realities behind, and you know, people say we're not bodies with souls, we're souls with bodies, but that's Gnosticism. The physical realities of the Christian worldview are a huge part of what sets it apart from other views. I think this fundamentally gets at the issue of suicide as well. I'm going to speak very generally here because it's impossible to nail down why any given person would choose to kill themselves, but generally, suicide comes from a desire not to be here anymore, to not be in a physical state anymore, as if being released from our bodies will be the end of our pain. I think the error comes in thinking that we'll never be here again, that we'll never be physical again, or that our disembodied state will be some painless floating into the ether, but believe it or not, Christians are divided on whether the intermediate state even exists. A lot of Christians believe we just go directly to the resurrection when we die. We're going to die in this body, and as soon as we close our eyes, they open again, resurrected. Now, that would be really cool, but I don't know, so don't ask me. My point is that some people end their lives on a hope largely rooted in things like Hinduism, this disembodied, painless soul thing, but I'm definitely not saying that a Christian wouldn't kill themselves. I've seen it many times, but I don't think they do it from a resurrection worldview. I have to point out the difference, speaking of Hinduism, between resurrection and reincarnation. This difference is another thing that sets Christianity apart so widely from other religions and worldviews. Reincarnation makes almost nothing physical matter. The only way in which it matters is in a non-physical sense. So if you punch me, it doesn't matter that you punched my body. It matters that you hit me because it hurt my feelings. So your feelings are the things that are actually hurt. That's the kind of thinking in a non-physical sense, if that makes any sense at all. In that worldview, the flesh is ultimately nothing. It degrades, never to return again. You're on to the next thing. You've dumped this rental car of a body, and you're on to something better. So the way resurrection is different is that our very same bodies are risen. Some Christians like to say, I'm going to get a new body, but that's not accurate to what's going to take place. You'll get a new body in the sense that it will be renewed. It's restored, it's resurrected. The reason we never found Jesus's body is because his resurrection body wasn't a new body. It was a resurrected body, resurrected to be even better. If we just got a new body, there would be no incentive to take care of this body. But the fact is that we're getting a renewed and restored version of the same body. It's like if someone gave you a car, nothing special, like a Ford Focus or something, and they told you, I'll be back in 20 years, and no matter what condition this car is in, I'll fix it up for you, pimp my ride style. Would you have an incentive to keep that car nice, or would you toss cigarette butts on the inside and never clean it? Would you allow rust to creep up the hood and start eating the car away? Well, I think even though the promise was based on whatever condition the car may be in, I think it'd still be pretty disrespectful to treat the car badly. So likewise, there should be an incentive for us to take care of our bodies to the best of our abilities because someone has promised to resurrect them to new life. Naturalism or materialism are other worldviews in which the resurrection worldview is highly superior. Materialism would say that there's no non-physical reality to life. We are just brains. We see that there's a tree, we see that there's a goat, and that's all there is. And when we die, we just go back to the exact state we were in before we were born, and then our body rots in the ground. It's kind of the flip side of reincarnation. Still nothing matters, but it kind of doesn't matter for a different reason. In reincarnation, nothing physical matters because you're on your way to something better and non-physical. In materialism, nothing physical matters because you're physically and non-physically on your way to nothing. Everything physical will go away and cease to exist. So the Christian doctrine of resurrection is superior to strictly non-physical views as well as strictly physical views. It's not just resuscitation. Douglas Wilson made this point when an atheist asked him how Jesus could be considered the first fruits of resurrection after he had already raised several people from the dead. And the answer is that Jesus resuscitated people. He raised them from death and they died again. But Jesus was the first one to rise from the dead, never to die again. That's what resurrection is, rising from the dead and never being touched by death again. It boggles my mind that he's applied his resurrection to us as his church. It's what I attempted to explore in our series on Romans 5 and 6. And it's debatable how well I did at that, but it's just such a big concept. I could probably spend multiple episodes unpacking it. I want to keep talking about things like this on the podcast because this is really what this show is all about. Sure, there are times when I might choose to go on political tirades for 6 episodes straight, but ultimately I want to get back around to the death of death in the death of Christ, Jesus's victory over sin, death, and everything else. So if you like that concept, if you like what this show is all about, and you want to help me make this show happen, then you head over to patreon.com/deathofdeath, and for just $4 a month, you get an exclusive podcast, voting rights, and early access. That is less than the price of a good cup of coffee, so think it over. I'm getting pretty good at the transitions into ads for myself. That was almost seamless. I'm going to really perfect that art in the coming episodes. All right, that's going to do it for this week. I have been your host, Nick, here to tell you that Gnosticism is wrong. And if you're as committed to Christ's victory as I am, I'll be here to do it with you all again next week. Goodbye for now.